Okay? We're about to start a brand new series. I want us to pray right now. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for this wonderful afternoon. And I pray, Lord, right now that you're going to stir us up, Lord God, to be excited for your word. Lord, open our hearts right now, right now. I want you to feel that in your spirit. Open your heart. Let there be a sense of expectation. You didn't just come to church to just simply waste time. You're here because you're expecting something from God. Let that faith rise up from your heart right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be a spirit of faith, a spirit of hope, a spirit of excitement, Lord God, as we go deeper into your word. Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give Lord our best clap. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on. Amen. Okay. So, we are off to a brand new series. No, actually, over the last couple of weeks, no, we had a wonderful series about the centrality of the cross. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you enjoyed that series? Right? Isn't it amazing to know that, you know, the cross is not just a mere symbol of Christianity. It was not just a place where Jesus died, but literally we realize that it is central to all of life. Okay? It's amazing what Jesus actually accomplished for us, no? 2,000 years ago when he died for us on the cross. In fact, sa totoo lang, I'll be honest with you, I am not done with that series yet. Okay? But I'm not going to continue. There's just so much. Probably, no, it's probably going to take us maybe a couple more months, maybe another month or more, if we're going to exhaust everything about the power of the cross. Okay? You know, it's not just an ornament that you wear as a necklace or as an earring, no, or something that you print on your shirt. It's the cross of Jesus Christ is the most amazing thing, right? Hey, you could have a better response than that, right? Yeah. Tama ba? Hey, come on. I don't know what's up with you. I was not here last Sunday, but I believe you had a great Sunday with Pastor Andy, right? Okay, so let's be excited about the word. So today we're going to, you know, it's going to be a brand new series about growing deeper in the word. Okay, we're going to get deeper in the word, no? And it's basically a series about the parables of Jesus. Okay, and you'll be amazed that some of these things you think are just mere stories, but there is so much, there's so much wisdom, there's so much insight. But not only that, you need to understand the parables are the very words of God, which is the power to transform lives. Okay? These are not just mere stories, no, but these are the very words of God. Okay, I want us to start with, no, with establishing probably the basic of all parables. Okay. Okay. The basic of all parables, no? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. And then we skip a little, and then the explanation of the parable itself, verses 18 to 23. Okay. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 9, and then 18 to 23. Let me read it to you in the NIV version. Sabi dito, then he told them, maybe we should read it all together. Can you just read this with me? Okay, I know you have your own Bibles, and it would be good if you're reading your own Bibles. But for those of you who didn't bring your Bible, I want us to read this from the screen. No? Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Go. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered away because they had no root. Okay? Now verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, till still others fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. In verse 9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Okay, let's pause there for a while. I think it was John Piper who said that, sabi niya, just to give you an introduction about this parable. This parable is primarily a parable of listening. Okay? And you need to understand something, that there, ang laki ho ng pinagkaiba, there is a big difference between hearing and listening. Are you there? Okay? There's a big difference between hearing and listening. A lot of us, most likely, unless you're physically deaf, there's a problem with your ears. No, but on the natural or the normal, lahat tayo may kapasidad na no makapandinig. Okay, you're hearing me right now, right? Now it doesn't mean that you hear; it follows that you actually listen. Okay, and so no, that's why. Before Jesus explained the parable, sabi niya, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And you're thinking, why did Jesus even say that? Para sabi niya, sa lahat ng may tenga, makinig. When in fact, it's so obvious, no, na lahat naman ng tao may tenga, tama ba? Pero yun nga, ang pinupunto niya dito, apparently, hindi lahat ng may tenga marunong makinig. Sabi mo sa katabi mo, marunong ka ba makinig? Okay. I'll explain later, no, what listening is. Because you know, sometimes we think that listening is simply no being able to hear something, but listening is so much more than just plain hearing. Are you there? Okay? So anyway, this parable has to do a lot about no a critical concern, which is it's about spiritual maturity. If I were to give a title to this, okay, I would entitle it Spiritual Maturity, focusing on the roots. Forgive me if I think I typed it wrong. Focusing on the roots, not on the fruits. Focusing on the roots, not on the fruits. It is natural for us, normal sa isang tao na attracted ka sa bunga. Right? Meron ba dito nakakita ka ng puno? Pagkatapos ang unang tingin, sabi mo, wow, ang ganda ng ugat. Uy, ang dami niyang ugat. No? The last thing that you would probably appreciate or see is the roots. No? Kadalasan you would see that, yun nga, the trunk, or the leaves, no, the branches, and of course, no, what everyone is after is the fruit, right? You want the fruit, no? For example, pag nakita ka ng mangga, titingnan mo kagad, may bunga ba? Okay? And kumbaga parang we are naturally attracted to the fruit. And also in terms of life, okay, I think we are usually attracted towards, no, the idea of fruitfulness or towards the idea of success. No, I wrote something here in my notes. No, the people today are generally concerned about the idea of success. Right? And anyway, who does not want to be successful? Okay? Sabi ko nga, I have yet to meet a person who wants to fail in his life. Every person here, I promise you, okay, even those who are a failure, everyone desires a certain level of success. Gusto mo manalo, gusto mo magtagumpay sa buhay. Okay? Kumbaga parang natural yan sa isang tao. Okay? We have this, there's this pursuit of success, this idea of success, and usually, now check this out, it is defined by, kadalasan, sa mo ina-associate ang success. It is defined by what you call net worth. Eh, kung ano ibig sabihin ng net worth, no? Kung magkano ka. Magkano yung, kung susumahin lahat ng tinatawag na assets and liabilities mo, eh, no, yun nga eh, magkano ang kabuuan ng pagkatao mo, ang yaman mo, net worth, no? Kadalasan, masyadong complicated yung net worth, kadalasan ina-associate natin yung success sa, for example, no, sa klase ng sasakyan mo, kung meron ka man ito o wala, okay? Sa, no, sa klase ng bahay mo, house, cars, no, yun nga, money, what else, no? For certain people, success is defined by, maybe some of you don't really have cars. You don't have houses. Maybe for example, students. But then again, let me tell you what your idea of success is. A lot of people, their idea of success is determined by how many likes will they get when they post something. Right? In fact, well, no, yun nga, since hindi ka naman magkakaroon ng kotse, pero yun na inaabangan mo eh. How many likes will you get when you actually post something? Okay? You actually feel, no, parang yun nga, you feel successful when you have more likes. Okay? No, kaya, no, sometimes yung idea natin success also depends on, no, the number or the kind of places that we went to. Kaya hindi mo maitatanggi, no, mga tao ngayon, okay, talagang kailangan ipakita o ipaalam kung saan siya nagpunta. Tama ba? Now, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that. It's good that, no, we actually tell, no? But then again, sometimes it has become more of, yun nga eh, more of a way to, what's this? A way for us to feel fulfilled. Okay? Or sometimes, check this out. Success in the realm of the church, for example, as a church, could also be in terms of a position, a ministry, okay? Or for example, the number of people that he handles if he's a cell leader. Parang automatic, ay, napaka-successful ng person yan. Ang dami niyang hawak na tao. But is it? Now, I'm not saying that cannot be a measure of success, but is that truly the ultimate measure of success? Okay? Is position a measure of success? Is a title a measure of success? Is a particular ministry or office that you hold on to a measure of success? Are grades a measure of success? It might be. I'm not saying it is not. It might be. But ultimately, ano nga ba yung measure ng success? No? What should be the most critical of all concerns? Edmund Chan proposes that these things are not really the critical issue. But more importantly, spiritual maturity. Okay? First of all, let me tell you, no, for us to better understand, ano nga ba itong tinatawag na spiritual maturity? Yun nga, kasi we want to focus on the roots, not on the fruits. Okay? Let me tell you, for us to better understand this, let me tell you, okay, what spiritual maturity is not. Okay. Number one, you could write this down. Spiritual maturity is not attending many meetings. Hello. It is not a guarantee that if you attend so many meetings in the church, okay, you actually are spiritual mature. Spiritual maturity is not religious or pious words. Okay? Hindi ibig sabihin, no, yun nga eh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ibig sabihin, mature yung taong yun. Okay? Spiritual maturity is not just also spiritual zeal, because, no, it can be zeal without knowledge. Okay? Kaya minsan magugulat ka, bakit mayroong mga Kristiyano parang ang gaspang, parang nakaka-offend. There's no question. No, I remember there's this guy that it was a video of a young man who was preaching in the streets of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the streets of London. And he was so, there's no question, the guy was so passionate, was so zealous about, no, about Christianity, about his belief. But more than winning people, no, he ends up, no, fighting with the others. And when I was watching it, okay, actually, ang daming kong nakitang mga Christians or mga friends ko na Christians, no, from other churches that they started liking and sharing, parang, wow, no, this man, this young man was so bold, and how I wish I could affirm it. But then again, eh, yun nga eh, there's no question he was zealous, but his zeal was without knowledge. Sabi sa Bible that he who wins souls is wise. Are you there? Okay. So, hindi pwedeng puro zilang, hindi pwedeng puro ano, puro alab lang eh. Okay. It takes a lot of wisdom. So, spiritual maturity is not it's not simply about being zealous. I'm not talking that zeal or passion is wrong. But spiritual maturity is not just spiritual zeal. Okay. Number four, ito maganda. Spiritual maturity is not just spiritual knowledge. It doesn't mean that because you know a lot about the Bible, it automatically says or it automatically makes you mature. Hindi ba ibig sabihin, ang dami mo alam sa salita ng Diyos, automatic, mature ka. Okay? In fact, you know, our church, no, we are all about making disciples or making people followers of Jesus. Okay? And when you need to understand something about disciple making, it is not just simply a passing of a knowledge, but it is intentional in transforming the life of a person. Are you there? My point is, no, are you becoming Christ-like? If you're coming to the service, adds knowledge to you. Okay? But you are not being changed, then I'm sorry. Maybe, the truth is, we are not really growing. Tama ba? Kasi dapat yung salita ng Diyos, the Word of God has the power to transform. And that is what needs to happen. We need to let the Word of God, how do we grow deeper into the Word? Okay? You might be thinking some practical things about, no, yun nga, let's do Bible reading together, a Bible reading plan. And we're actually doing that in the church. Or come up with another Bible class, no, or a class on theology. Okay? But you need to understand, it's not simply adding knowledge about the Bible. Okay? Spiritual maturity has to do with allowing the Word of God to transform your life. So, ang tanong nga eh, are you changing? Hello? Ask yourself this. Every Sunday that you come to Destiny, are you becoming a better person? Now, if you are not, it doesn't mean stop attending. Baka iba ma-discourage. No, I'm not discouraging you from coming to church, but I'm making you think about how the Word of God should transform and change your life. Okay? Going back now to the parable, no, the foundation for spiritual maturity. Right? In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, actually Mark talks about the same parable. He writes about the same parable sa account niya. But he mentions something that Matthew doesn't mention. Sabi niya, no, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? Now, that's why sinimulan natin yung growing deeper into the Word with, no, this parable, the parable of the sower and the seed. It's one of the most famous parables of Jesus. And in fact, one of the first, if not the first, that he actually ever thought, no? And when dun sa version ni Mark takes note of something kasi eventually, naikwento na ni Jesus. Pagkatapos nung sila-sila na lang, nagtanong yung mga disciples, Lord, anong ibig sabihin nun? Sino dito minsan, tango ka lang ng tango kasi ayaw mong magmukhang tanga. Right? So, apparently, don't worry. Okay? You are in the same category as the disciples. You know, they were there like, oo nga. Pero nung sila-sila na lang, they, no, nung kukunti na lang, no, naglakas loob na, I don't know kung si Peter ba, Lord, kwento mo kanina, ano nga ibig sabihin nun? So, no, the disciples themselves did not actually understood what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus said, I don't know, maybe with a smile or no, sabi niya, okay? So he said to them, you don't understand this parable. How then will you understand any of the parables? Hey, some of you right now are feeling exactly like that. Like, oh my goodness, if Jesus said that, now you realize, now check this out. That's why, sino sa inyo before, especially, okay, hindi naman first time na naka-attend ka ng church eh. How many of you here, being Filipinos, we actually grew up going to church every Sunday, right? We are used to hearing God's word. But how many of you, in all those Sundays, was there ever a Sunday you actually appreciated the word of God and it was like, wow! How many of you are like, just went there because everyone did it? And you know, to be honest ako, no, growing up, no, attending Catholic Church, I cannot remember a particular sermon that the priest taught it. Though it was just, in fact, it was a very short sermon. Okay? 15 minutes, 30 minutes, the priest is done. Okay? And despite how short it is, wala talaga akong, I would not, now listen to this, I would not even fault the priest. The fault is with me. Okay? I would not even blame the priest that I didn't understand. There was a problem with me. There was a problem with you. The reason you didn't, just like probably some of you are right now, no, katulad ng mga disciples, no, they were, no, their eyes, their understanding was veiled. Okay? Siguro ma-relate nito, no, for example, no, formula sa math, meron bang, no, lahat na gets na, pero ikaw talaga. Tapos ikaw yung ano, umuwi na lahat, nagpaiwan ka, ma'am. Paano nga uli yan? Okay? But you need, sabi mo sa katabi mo, you need to get this. Why? Because sabi, Jesus said, if you don't understand this, there's no way. You need to get this. I can just feel a certain new, no. Don't you leave church this Sunday without you getting to realize what this means. Because if you don't get this, okay, you will never get the rest. Tama ba? Sabi mo sa katabi, you have to understand this. Parang yun nga, basic to eh. No, kailangan maintindihan mo muna yung ano, yung basic ng ano ABC bago ka mag-proceed sa sentences. Kailangan maintindihan mo ano ibig sabihin 1 2 3 yung basic addition bago ka magpunta do sa more complicated ano, no, formulas. Okay? Because if you don't get this, you will not understand the rest. Are you there? Now the good thing about this parable, Jesus himself, this is one of the few parables that Jesus actually explained. Praise God. He wanted us to get this. Are you there? Okay? Now, just to get deeper, no, I've always, actually, in my journey as a Christian, I think this is the first parable that was shared to me. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first parable. The first preaching I ever did as a young Christian way back years ago, more than 20 years ago. the first preaching I ever done in the church. I was still studying in UP at that time. A pastor invited me to preach. I was not even a pastor. I was basically a college student. And there is this pastor in the province. No, sabi niya, Carlo, do you want to preach this Sunday? I think I was maybe 18 years old at that time. And I was so excited. I was given the privilege to share. And I actually shared on the parable of the sower and the seed. And to tell you honestly, I have shared this so many times. But about 2 weeks ago, I heard Pastor Reverend Edmund Chan. I was in Surabaya, Indonesia. And I was there not to preach, but I was there to be a participant. It was this conference. And this was, you know, this was his first message, and it blew my mind. I've never saw the parable that way. I've never hear anyone share it in that way. I've done pretty well preaching this word. But to me, what he shared was just, you know, it opened my eyes to a different way of looking at the parable of the sower and the seed. Okay? And he deals with, the reason it kumbaga parang all the more it made sense to me was because he talked about, he tackled the issue of three existential realities. Three existential realities. Ano ibig sabihin ng existential? Okay? Existential, parang lalim, parang existential. Yung palang hindi ko na maintindihan, paano pa yung parable? Okay? Para lang mas lalong lumawak lang yung definition natin. The word existential means from the root word exist. And I have some news for you. You exist. Okay? In other words, no, you're here. You're alive. Okay? Existential means, yun nga, there are an existential realities. No, these are things that every person, every creature, every human being a person of existence, no, okay, these are things that we, every one of us, have to deal with. Okay? Let me just outline this for you. No? Lahat tayo, naranasan natin or kinakaharap palagi na, hindi mo pwedeng matakasan ito. Tao ka, haharapin mo itong existential realities. No? Ibig sabihin, totoo ito sa buhay mo. Okay? Questions, no? you will experience this, you will question things about in your life, no? Specifically dealing with these things. No? Number one is your pursuits. Everyone is pursuing something, whether you like it or not. Whether you are intentional about it or not. Okay? Meron tayong pinipursued. No? Life is a quest. It's a journey. Right now, you're pursuing something. Okay? So, no? Some are pursuing money. Some are pursuing a promotion. Some are pursuing a grade. Okay? A career. Some are pursuing a girl. A guy. Okay? No, we are in pursuit of something. Okay? That's just a reality about you. Okay? And as you think about that, I want you to think, what am I pursuing? Okay? Because some of us, though we pursue something, we never really get to think what we are pursuing at. Okay? Minsan hindi natin binibigyan ng pansin, I'm actually in pursuit of something. And sometimes, no, because we're not aware, okay, that's where also we get lost. Okay. The second is pain. Pain. Kurutin mo yung katabi mo. Sige, kurutin mo. Naramdaman mo? Naramdaman niya ba? It's what? Hey, guess what? It's a reality. Sige, no. More profound question. Sino nang nasaktan? As a human being, every one of us experience pain. In fact, this is one of the, iti isa sa mga arguments ng mga atheists. If there is a God, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Okay. And sometimes, no, sometimes we if we don't understand pain, yun nga eh, okay, if we're not able to deal with pain, you might end up resorting to something like that. May mga tao, no, pag nakaranas ng pain, okay, dun sila, yun nga, parang at a certain point, no, nakakalimutan nila, o yun nga, pumapasok yung doubt, nagdududa sila sa existence ng Diyos. Okay, we're gonna tackle that. And the third one is pleasure. Okay, every one of us, there's a part in us that wants to engage in pleasure. Okay? There is nothing wrong. Okay, let me give you some of the, kumbaga, you know, why do you watch a movie? Because you want to enjoy. Why do you go to the beach? Why do you spend time with friends or with a special someone? Because you find pleasure in that. We are creatures of pleasure. Are you there? Okay? Pleasure, no. Now, you need to understand, all these three things are, no, they're not wrong. They're not positive. Neither are they negative. Okay? But it is how we respond to these things that basically define who you are. Ang problema, iba-iba yung, no, no, yung response natin, iba yung response natin sa pursuit, iba yung response natin sa pain. Bakit may mga tao, no, pag nakaranas ng, no, ng hirap, kumbaga parang mas lalong nananaling, mas lalong nananampalataya sa Diyos, mas lalong tumitindi yung pagpupusige. Bakit naman merong mga, meron naman, konting sakit lang, sumusuko agad. Kasi nga iba-iba, yung dealings natin, yung response natin, no, sa, no, sa pain. Okay? Ganun din sa pleasure. Okay? So, we're dealing with those three existential realities, no? You can define a person. This is what Edmund Chan said. Let me just, you know, say this, no? You can define a person by his pursuit, pain, and pleasure. And you can define a disciple, you can define a Christian by his pursuit, his pain, and his pleasure. How a Christian, how a believer, how a follower of Christ, how a disciple responds to these things determine what kind of person, what kind of disciple, what kind of follower of Jesus Christ he is. In other words, these things, no, no, are determining, are defining things in our lives. Okay? The parable of the sower, he talks about four kinds of soils. Okay? No, basahin natin yung ano, yung interpretation ni Jesus. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 18. Okay? Then he told, okay, verse 18, ito na yung explanation ni Jesus. Sabi niya, listen. Then, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Okay? Naalala niyo yung first, no? Jesus Christ categorizes four kinds of people, or you could almost say, four kinds of response to the word of God. Pinakita ni Jesus that the farmer symbolizes what? No, someone, a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, no, who preaches the word. It could be your cell leader. It could be, no, it could be a pastor from the church. Okay? He sows, nagtatanim daw ng salita ng Diyos. Okay? And then he goes on talking about four kinds of people. No, sabi niya, yung una, no, so the sower goes out, the farmer or the sower goes out and sows seed, nagtanim daw, naghasik ng binhi. Okay? The first group fell among what? Ang sabi doon, it fell among the footpath. Ano nangyari? Birds of the air came about and snatched the seeds. In other words, they never even had a chance to bear fruit. Now, I want you to picture what a footpath looks like. You know, have you ever seen, for example, a pathway, hindi yung cementado, no? A pathway that was made by people, for example, sa bukid, right? Or I remember dito sa Sunken Garden. If you've been around Sunken Garden here in UP, okay, yung daanan talaga, yung side, yung ano, may sidewalk yan eh, all over the University Oval. Pero may portion sa Sunken Garden, no? merong footpath na ginawa ng tao. Bakit? Eh kasi nga naman, kung dadaan ka pa dito, it's gonna take you a long while. So people started walking and as a result, that area, no, walang tanim doon. Naturally kasi nga, dahil palagi natatapakan, the soil on that part started to what? Hardened. It got, you know, started to get pressed on because of people walking over and over and over and over. Literally, no plants, not even wild plants, not even grass, is able to sprout or to grow on that portion of soil. Bakit? Sadyang compacted na yung lupa, sadyang matigas na. Eh? Ang nangyari dito, actually, sa in another version, sinabi na ito yung mga tao na nung pumatak yung mga binhi doon sa area na yon, natural na tapak-tapakan lang sila, hindi nabigyan ng halaga, hindi nabigyan ng pagkakataon na yung seed ay tumubo. Okay? What else happened here? Sabi dito, there were birds that snatch the seeds that they were not even able to sprout and grow. Okay. Now Jesus explains this. No, go ahead, put up the verse. Okay. Verse 19. Put it up. Verse 18, sabi, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the footpath. Okay. What kind of heart? What kind of response? No. Every one of us have pursuits. But in our pursuit of things, Edmund Chan says that there is what he calls a fallacy of pride. The fallacy of pride in our pursuits. Okay? When you say pride, pride is not necessarily, you know, wrong in the sense that, okay, every one of us, bawat isa sa atin, and I was thinking about this, there is what I believe a good sense of pride. Like for example, no, there's dignity in who you are as you have accomplished or you have done something good. Tama ba? Kumbaga parang medyo safe pa yun eh. Okay? As human beings, we long for a certain kind of respect, a certain kind of dignity. Meron tayong tinatawag na self-worth. Right? And that's one of the major pursuits of people as a human being. Bila isang tao, no, yun nga, you pursue what you call a worthy. Okay? No. But sometimes here's the problem. In our pursuits, the wrong kind of pride comes along and it hardens our hearts. Okay? What do I mean by it hardens our hearts? Listen to this. Walang taong mayabang ang natututo. Right? Ano ibig sabihin na ang isang taong mayabang, hindi yan matututo. Eh, he would never learn. Why? Because pag sinabing mayabang ka, in other words, you think you know it all. And because in your mind you think you know it already, there is no chance for you to learn. No? Pride keeps you, stops you, it becomes the major hindrance why a person will not learn. Okay? Because in his mind, he thinks he already has it all together. In his mind, he thinks, I don't need of you. I don't need of what you have to say. I have it all together. Pag mayabang ka, hindi ka, yun nga eh, walang mayabang natatanggap eh. Kasi mayabang siya eh. No, pride hardens our hearts. Listen to this, no? It is not because the kingdom of God is hard to understand, but it is the hardness of heart that causes us, that no, makes us a failure in terms of understanding the Word of God. Let me repeat that. Hindi sa mahirap unawain ang salita ng Diyos. No. Okay? God's word is not hard to understand. But the state of our hearts, the pride of our hearts, make our hearts hard to the point that we are not able to understand, we're not able to receive the word of God. Okay? Pride is what hardens our hearts, resulting into what? Unbelief. Eh. Okay? Hindi tumubo yung mga bine, bakit? Kasi nga matigas yung lupa. To the point na, okay, sabi doon, immediately, ninakaw kagad yung naitanim. Kaya, is it possible? Listen to this. Every one of you is hearing this. But the moment this service is done, you won't even remember a single thing that I've said. Has that happened to you? That has happened to me a number of times. Bakit? Kasi narinig ko, pero yun nga, hindi nagkaroon ng pagkakataon na tumubo. Narinig mo pero walang understanding. Hindi sapat na marinig mo lang eh. Kailangan maintindihan mo. Sabi mo sa katabi mo, intindihin mo. Okay? Kadalasan, sanay lang tayo na naririnig. Oo, narinig ko. Oo na. Okay? Pero hindi mo talaga naunawaan o hindi mo binigyan ng pagkakataon na maunawaan mo. Okay? Kaya hindi naging productive ito sa buhay mo kasi technically narinig mo or, ito pa matindi, nag-assume ka na alam mo. Kasi nga narinig mo na eh. Pero, hindi mo talaga naunawaan. Okay? And so, what happens is, the word, okay, the powerful word, the word that's supposed to bring transformation, that's supposed to bring fruit in your life, no? Okay, guess what? No? It doesn't do anything in your life. It gets snatched away. Okay? Look at how let me just no usisain pa natin maigi, bigyan pa natin ng tuon yung pride, no? Sabi ko nga kanina, the proud never learn and cannot learn. Why? Because when you're pride, okay, when you have pride in your heart, it hardens your heart. You think you're better than others, and there's no chance for you to learn. Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Look at that verse. Sige nga, basahin nyo. I want you to read it and let that have a revelation in your heart right now. 1, 2, 3, go. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. The moment daw na inassume mo, na you think of yourself as somebody. Okay? I remember there's this story in the airport. No, pagkatapos, ang haba ng pila, and all of a sudden there's this guy who started to kumbaga parang skip the line, okay? And he started to skip the line. Apparently there was some problem with the airport, and he decided to skip the line. He was not willing to wait like everyone else, and he was so impatient. And finally, when he got to the counter, no, and he was trying to get the the check encounter to do something for him, but yung person in charge was explaining, "Sorry, sir, this is the situation, and I cannot do that for you. Besides, there's so many people also waiting here," and he was insisting, and sabi nung lalaki, "Hey, hoy, hindi mo ba ako kilala?" Alam mo ginawa nung nasa counter, kinuha yung microphone, sabi niya, "Attention, I need everyone's help. Meron pong tao dito, hindi niya po alam kung sino siya." Kasi tinanong niya, "Hindi mo ba ako kilala?" That's the problem, when you think you're somebody, when really you're nobody, you deceive yourself. Nakakatakot yung pride . Alam mo bakit? Lahat sa paligid mo, ang tingin sa'yo mayabang. Ikaw lang ang tingin mo hindi. Totoo, di ba? Right? Okay? And you know, ano yung, kumbaga, sabihin kong kapatid o pinsan ng kayabangan. Magugulat kayo. Ang kapatid ng kayabangan, katangahan. Check it out. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. Read it. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. What does it say? "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Tagalogin natin, ha? Nakita na ka na ba daw ng tao na matalino siya sa kanyang sarili, sa kanyang paningin, magaling siya. Mas may pag-asa pa ang tanga kaysa sa kanya. Hello? Right? Bakit? Kasi nga pag, when you're proud, okay? Yun na, can you imagine, no? Here is the wisdom of God. But because you are so proud, your heart has become hard, no? The wisdom of God will not even penetrate. You will resist it. You will reject it. Sino dito pinagsabihan ka na, ang ganda ng payo sa'yo ng cell leader mo? Ni-reject mo. Alam mo, hindi maganda yan. Nakalagay sa sultana ng Diyos. Ito. Anong ginawa mo? Ni-reject mo. Hindi mo matanggap . Kasi nga, pride. Ang tingin mo, ingit ka lang, wala ka pa sing girlfriend. No, ganun, kasi nga, pride. Ang totoo niya, yun, mas may pag-asa pa daw yung mangmang, yung tanga kaysa sa taong mayabang. Okay? Proverbs 14, verse 3. "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve him." In the mouth of the foolish, there is pride. You know what is pride, no? It's when you're trying to prove something. Yung taong mayabang, mayroon siya kasing kailangan patunayan. May gusto siyang patunayan. And I want to propose this to you. One of our mentors, no, actually, the wife of, we heard this from the wife of Pastor Peter Tanchi, no, Diono Tanchi, sabi niya, always remember this. You have nothing to prove, but so much to improve. Nothing to prove. But so much to improve. Wala kang kailangan patunayan. Nothing to prove. But so much to improve. I believe that is so true for every one of us. Right? How many of you are familiar with the story. You're familiar with it, no? The story of the Lord of the Rings, a trilogy. Yeah, it's an old classic. It's a book that has been, you know, translated into film. You know, I know for some of you it might already be an old film, but hey, if you haven't watched The Lord of the Rings, that is such a classic. You have to watch that, or better yet, you have to read that. It's amazing. Okay, now let me just give you a, you know, just in case you're not from this planet. Okay, no. The Lord of the Rings, well, yung pinaka gist niya, no, itong si Sauron, he was, you could almost say an evil, wicked, could almost say a demigod, no, that such enormous power, okay? And he forged, no, yung nga, this ring, okay? What is the ring called? Yeah, the ring. Okay. It's the ring of Sauron, no? The ring of Sauron, no? And apparently, no, yung ring na yon has all his power is, no, is represented in that ring. In fact, in order to defeat Sauron, ang kailangan is to bring the ring. Apparently, the ring was indestructible, di ba? You know that, right? Hindi pwedeng basagin, hindi pwedeng, no. No, it's indestructible. The only way that it can be destroyed is from the very place that it was created, at Mordor, no, the flames of Mordor. So, kaya lang, teritoryo yun ni Sauron. Okay? So, what needs to be done is, yun nga, the Fellowship of the Ring, no, sila Frodo together with, all those other guys, no, Legolas, Aragorn, Gimli, sino yung wizard? Si Gandalf, no, and sila Pepe, no, sila yung mga friends niya, okay, they were tasked, no, to bring that ring into, you know, into Mordor, no, ihulog dun sa apoy ng Mordor, and that's the only time that the ring is going to be destroyed. Okay, you know that, right? Now, okay, apparently there was this person who was, okay, actually there was a lady who read the story, and he wrote a letter to nung buhay pa si Tolkien. He wrote a letter to Tolkien. And let me just read to you the story. This was from Timothy Keller's book, I think, Problem of Pain. Hey, don't go beep. Okay, huwag niyo akong unahan. Ayan, nakita ko si dito. Anyway, okay, let me read it to you. When Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy was published in the 1950s, a woman by the name of Rhona Bear wrote to Tolkien, okay, and asked him about the chapter in which the Ring of Power is destroyed in the fires of, you know, Mount Doom in Mordor. Okay, when the ring is melted, no, when the ring is melted, the Dark Lord's entire power collapses and melts away with it. She found it inexplicable that this unassailable, overwhelming power would be wiped out by the erasure of such a little object. You know, no. Okay, apparently, we never thought like that. Like, yeah, nice movie, but this woman was like, that sounds stupid. How can somebody so powerful, such a Sauron, and seemingly, yun nga eh, you know, what's this, invincible, could actually, no, lose after the ring is destroyed. When the ring is melted away, he basically crumbles. Remember the eye? You know that scene, right? Anyway, it's a, how is that? It's inexplicable, no? Okay. And no, she found it inexplicable and overwhelming, or should be wiped out by the erasure of such a little object. Tolkien replied that at the heart of the plot was the Dark Lord's effort to magnify and maximizing his power by placing so much of it in the ring. This is what Tolkien wrote. Sige, basahin natin, you can put that up. Okay. The Ring of Sauron is only one of the various mythical treatments of placing one's life or power in some external object, which is thus exposed to capture or destruction with disastrous results to oneself. Okay. what is he trying to say? No, sabi ni Tolkien, the Ring of Sauron is only one of the various mythical treatments of placing one's life. Meron tayong tendency na ganun eh. To place our lives to a certain external object. Okay? Yun nga, your source of pride and your dignity. Okay? Your source of pride, for example, no? Some people, they place their trust, yung kanilang pagtitiwala, they place their lives on, let's say, their academics or their job. And you'll be surprised, a seemingly powerful man, the moment bumagsak yung negosyo niya, okay, nasira din siya. Nagpakamatay. Okay? Listen to this. Tolkien means something like this. Now, this is from Timothy Keller. It is one thing to love somebody, kento daw yan, no? It is one thing to love somebody and get a lot of joy out of that relationship, but if that person breaks up with you and you want to kill yourself, it means you have given that person too much glory, too much weight in your life. You may have said in your heart, if that person loves me, then I know I am somebody. But if that person then takes that relationship away, you collapse and melt. And sometimes we treat our lives like that. Our source of pride, no, is an external object rather than the idea that God loves you. That love cares for you unconditionally. And that sometimes we place too much power in a person, in a career, in an object, that thing, when that thing falls apart, we melt away with it. Okay? Sabi dito, yun nga, you have given it too much glory, too much weight in your life. Okay. And that's the fallacy of pride. Number two. We forget God in our pain. What's the next soil? Okay, sabi dito in verse, balikan lang natin in verse 5 to 6. Others fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. Now, unlike the first one, that it never even had a chance to grow, amazingly, the second group of seeds, they fell upon, no? What? They fell upon a soil, a type of ground, which was what? Sabi ito, it was described as rocky. Okay? Now, it had soil, may lupa, okay? And I think, no, kahit paano malambot siya, unlike the footpath that the seeds didn't even had a single chance to grow. This group, sabi, it had moisture, tumubo siya, but here's the problem, okay? Underneath the soil are actually lots of rocks. So ano daw nangyari? Nung tumubo yung binhe, tumubo yung halaman, okay? Dahil mababaw lang yung lupa at sa ilalim nito puro bato na, ano nangyari? No, yung kanyang ugat hindi makalalim. Eventually, tumaas yung sikat ng araw. Nung mataas na yung sikat ng araw, itong mga binhing daw ito, itong mga halamang ito, ito'y nagsilanta. Natural, walang ugat. Alam nyo, simple lang ito. I believe every one of you had, any one of you, okay? Do you still remember your mongo bean, your mongo experiment? And you were so happy, no? When binasamong ganon, nagsitubuan sila. Okay? And really, honestly, how many of you were sad when they started to die? And you need to understand, they were bound to die. Why? Because you placed it in a petri dish or in a jar that literally had no soil. If at all, it had little soil. Okay. The plant started growing, but its roots were not deep enough. So when the sun,
no, was high, eventually nagsilanta. Bakit? Wala ngang ugat. Okay? Ano sabi ni Jesus dito? In-explain ni Jesus. Ito daw yung mga klase ng tao. Let's read it. No? Verse 20-21. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately it falls away. The second problem, the second enemy of our soul is what? Is when we forget God in our pain. Okay? Now, you might think that, ay, hindi ako yan. Kasi every time may problema ako, lumalapit ako sa Diyos. Okay? How many of you, pag may problema ka, your first instinct is, pa-pray naman. But listen to this. You might think that you're on the right side. Okay? But this is a problem. Eh. When we experience pain, sometimes it is automatic for us to come to God. Not because we are deeply rooted, but because we want an instant solution. You don't come, no, when you experience trials and persecutions and problems, you come to the Lord not to surrender it, but because you simply want to get out. You want to, your goal is to solve the problem. Your goal is to take away the pain. Your goal is not for you to be transformed. Your goal is not for the problem or the pain or the persecution to bring a good work in your life, to test you. Okay? But your goal is to try to get away from the pain immediately. So you come to God, ang in-expect natin si God is parang some kind of a push button God. Lord, may problema ako. Lord, hindi ako nag-aral, babagsak ako. Pray ako. And you expect an answer. Ang tagal-tagal mong hindi ka sumusunod sa Diyos, hindi mo sinusunod yung mga pahayag ng leader mo, hindi mo talaga no binibigyan ng pansin yung salita ng Diyos sa buhay mo, yung naririnig mo, pagkatapos may problema, okay, lapit ka sa Diyos dahil naramdaman mo yung pain eh. Pero hindi dahil sa gusto mong kumilos ang Diyos sa buhay mo, gusto mo lang ng instant solution. Lord, wala akong pera. Lord, breakthrough. Okay. Are you there? Kaya may mga tao, no? Yun nga eh. Mayroon akong alam, nagkaroon siya ng, this is a true story. There's this guy, he started liking a person in the church, liking a girl, and he started praying, Lord, no, sagutin siya nung babaeng ito. In fact, no, nilikhan niya offering niya. This is a true story. And after nilikhan niya offering niya, eh hindi siya gusto nung babae. He got frustrated. He stopped attending the church. And this is a fallacy that we think that God is some kind of a slot machine. That we drop in some coins and we get something out of God. In our pain, we don't just remember God, but we tend to become demanding to God to solve our problems. We normally try to find a solution to our problems rather than surrendering it in obedience to God. We forget God in our pain. Hey, can I tell you something? You're going to experience pain. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Christianity is not, no, a ticket out of pain. But in the midst of the pain,
Jesus promised that He will be there. Are you there? Okay. Look at Psalms 34, verse 2 to 3. Psalms 34, verses 2 to 3. I want you to read this. And read this all together. 1, 2, 3, go. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Okay. So I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. I mean, afflicted. No, let the one who experienced suffering. Is it possible to go through pain, to go through suffering, to go through persecution, and rejoice? Sabi dito, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. Probably the best example to this is si Job. No? Sabi, after what Job experienced, after he lost his family, he lost his house, he lost his business in one day. Nawala lahat sa kanya, literally. What did he do? No? Probably the sweetest of worship, sabi ni Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right, now, listen to this. It is not the sun, it is not the heat of the sun that caused the plants to wither. It was the lack of root. Let me repeat that. It is not the sun that caused the plants to wither. It is the lack of root. Sometimes that's our problem. We think it was the suffering that caused us to fall away. It is the pain that caused us to fall away. No. It was because we are not deeply rooted. We need to allow the Word of God to grow deep into our hearts. Number three, I'm almost done. Number three deals with the experience of pleasure. And the problem with this is, okay, we end up sometimes forsaking our values in pleasure. Basahin natin what happened to the third group. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And the one, and this is what Jesus' explanation, and the one on whom the seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This group of people, you could almost say, are the more, you know, this is the class of people. This is the category where all the more it's confusing to identify this. Why? They look like a Christian. They smell like a Christian, but they're not Christians. They look like a disciple. They smell like a disciple, but they're not disciples. Why? Because these are, sabi dito, tumubo sila. I could picture this as people who attend church. They're regular, maybe even in a cell meeting. Persecution, pain, was not able to defeat them. What defeated them was something more subtle. Sabi dito, it was the pleasures, the worries, and the riches of the world.
Here's a problem. These are people who abandon their values when presented with pleasure. Ulitin ko ha. These are people who abandon their values, who abandon their convictions when presented with pleasure. Tataka ka, faithful sa church, faithful sa services, baka nga meron pang ministry, maaring part siya ng Shield, worship team, usher, and it seems that everything is well until eto, nagka-girlfriend, nagka-boyfriend. The boyfriend and the girlfriend is something is something that God desires and designed for the person. It is not good for a man to be alone, right? So, sabi sa Bible that he who finds a wife finds something good. Okay? God wants us to enjoy the pleasure of having having a man or a woman. I'm just putting this as an example. God wants you, the same way that God wants you to enjoy the pleasure of being rich. God doesn't want you to be poor. God wants us to enjoy the idea of wealth. But then, if we are not, if we are not too careful, what was meant to be a blessing can become a curse. Kung kailan may girlfriend, tsaka ano nangyari? Nag-engage sa illegitimate pleasure. Inabandon yung conviction. Inabandon yung values. Nung pinersecute, matatag. Inusig ng friends, ng magulang, ng kaibigan. Mukhang grounded. Pero it was the snare of pleasure. Abandon your values. Don't abandon your convictions for pleasure. God wants us to enjoy. There's no question that God is a God who wants his, who wants humanity to experience pleasure. It is his design. But never abandon. Yung nga, what happens is just like yung sa you place too much power, on a person, on an object, that when that thing is taken away, you melt. The problem is no depth, no roots. To summarize, no depth, no root, no foundation. And it is confusing. Why? Because for some people, they may be seemingly fruitful. But then there's the good soil. The good soil represents the good heart that are receptive to God's word, to God's revelation. Edmund Chan said this, and then let me just quote him. Sabi niya, the greatest challenge of discipleship today, of Christians today, is not even the hardened heart, because we can easily see and detect who they are. The greatest challenge is the rocky and the thorny ground. How they respond to pain and pleasure. You're going to experience pain. And you're going to experience pleasure. And how you respond to that will define you as a person. You can let pain and pleasure define you, or you can let the Word of God define you. The Word of God should be the very thing that would define, that should define your life. It defines who you are, and it determines what kind of person you are. Kanina, at the very beginning, I said that this is a parable of listening. Okay. Sometimes when we understand listening, even the word understand, we limit it to what you call comprehension. Okay. Pag sinabi ko sa yung naunawaan mo, sa atin, ang dating kagad natin, oo, naunawaan ko, naintindihan ko. Pero here's what's amazing in the Bible. The word understand used in the Bible is not only about comprehension. It's not only about naintindihan mo. Ang totoong naintindihan is yung taong ginawa. Let me repeat that. When Jesus said, these words are given for you to understand, it doesn't mean just a level of comprehension, but it means that naintindihan mo, at malalaman ko naintindihan mo kung ito'y ginawa mo. That's why it's never just about knowledge. Knowledge is vain. Knowledge is useless if it does not transform you. How do you grow deeper in the Word? Not by more Bible study. Not even by a daily devotion. Edmund Chan said this, and I remember it very well. Sabi niya, the question, listen to this, no? The question is not whether you did your devotions. It is whether you have encountered God in your devotions. Let me repeat that. It is not whether you read the Bible today, but have you encountered God in the reading of your word today? Has it changed you? Did you obey? That is the good soil. It is those that receive the word and they understand, meaning they got it. Meaning the moment they realize what they need to do, no questions, they start doing it. And they bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Want us to pray right now. How have you been responding to pain? Do we just come to God in our pain because we want an immediate solution? Gusto mo lang kagad ng sagot? Gusto mo lang takasan yung problema mo? Or do you come to God in surrender? Do you allow that pain to work something in your life? And so as to form your character. And so as to make you more Christ-like. Are you becoming more like Jesus in your pain? Or are you just one who would wither away? Let the word go deep in your heart right now. Maybe you have survived the pain. Maybe you know how to deal with suffering. But sometimes the tragedy is we don't know how to go about pleasure. Don't abandon your values for pleasure. Don't abandon your Christianity just so that you could experience a temporary pleasure of the world. Don't be like an Esau who exchanged his birthright for a bowl of soup. Question is, have you really obeyed the word? Let your words take root right now. Lord, weed out our hearts, Lord. Take away the thorns and the thistles. Lord, we even surrender, Lord God, the pleasures, Lord, that have been crowding our hearts, crowding the very life of Christ in us. Us to bear fruit right now. Let the word grow deep into our hearts.